Welcome, everybody, to the JK Sports Podcast. I'm Juan.
And I'm Kyle.
And welcome to your favorite podcast. Your favorite podcast.
The only podcast for the casual fan, by the casual fan.
That's correct. So right before, Kyle, I gestured a little bit, and what I was thinking of is, you know, with fans being back in the stadiums and all this, there's also concerts being back.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of our favorite bands, the Chili Peppers, is coming back.
Yep.
And today there's pre-sale tickets. I forgot to get some.
But we'll jump on it. I have seen them live. It was unfortunate. Anthony Kiedis just got off his broken foot, so he wasn't the same. But still really, really good. I'm excited. I'm going to see Hamilton Sunday.
Ooh.
Been to a couple Gator games live. It's good to be back in the stands
with
the common folk, you know, mixing, mingling, rubbing shoulders, tailgating. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Have you been rubbing shoulders?
Yeah. Right? In the urinals, rubbing shoulders.
Oh, no. Yeah. Whoa.
Come on, man.
Let's not get there.
All right.
But it is good to see the fans back. And you know what? I'm interested in your take. Because I don't think we've pod since the Florida-Alabama game.
We have not.
Right? And you went to the game.
I did.
First live sporting event since COVID?
Yeah, and the way we did it definitely will spoil you. It was, you know, party bus up, tailgating, great seats. It was wild. It was a wild day.
It's like pre-COVID.
It was basically definitely pre-COVID. It was a top three Gator football game I've ever been to.
Really?
For sure. It just the whole day. And I think a lot of it was because, you know, it had been essentially 2 years since I've been to a game. Just the
you have
atmosphere.
To release a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
Yeah, but I don't feel like it was just me. I feel like it was everybody there, and we were all going through it together. And it was just... It was loud. My head was rattling during the game. It was wild.
Just you and 90,000 of your best friends. Closest friends.
Everybody getting like, we had a Bama fan right in front of us, but it didn't matter. It was great.
Yeah. Would you say it was one of the loudest that you've been?
Second loudest game I've ever been to. No doubt. Loudest was the cock block. Jarvis Moss blocking the South Carolina field goal with their kick to win the game. That was
2006,
pandemonium. Yeah. Pandemonium. But this was definitely the loudest.
What, you know, so I was watching it on TV, but was it a sustained, like, it seemed loud on defense, like when Alabama was on offense and Florida was on defense. Was it a sustained loud, you think, for like all four quarters?
Yes.
Like,
not the first quarter. not a lot to cheer for or yell for in the first quarter. But yes, it was constant. We did not sit down at one point the entire game. Which I love. I think that's fantastic. But it just, I mean, I think that kind of spoke to the intensity of the game. And you couldn't even talk to the person next to you. It was crazy.
How was it when they scored that last touchdown, you know, and they were down 2 points? Like when that last Damian Pierce run, you know,
right,
for a touchdown, did it get loud? Was that?
Yes, it was, but it was like a surreal loud because the first quarter, it just took the wind out of everybody's sails. And you're like, here we go. Like, this is going to be a blowout. It was just so bizarre to even be in the game. And you couldn't even like, I don't even know how to describe it. I couldn't even like think. I couldn't even process what was happening.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe we were still in the game. We had a chance to win, quite honestly. I mean, we truly did. It was loud. It was wild. Everybody's high-fiving and stuff. It was just, I don't know, it was crazy. I don't know how else to explain it.
See, watching it live, I was feeling the same emotions, I mean, on TV. And when they scored that touchdown, and then it's like, oh my God, are we going to go for two or whatever? And when the two-point conversion happened, right, and like, it was like, what just happened? And like, they missed it. I didn't even have time to process, like, if I was upset or angry or like, dang it, we just lost the game because we did this. It was just like I had so much emotion for them scoring the touchdown, being in the game. We could win this thing. We're moving down the field. And then the two-point conversion, and even afterwards, it's just kind of like, oh, wait, did we just miss it? Oh, okay, well, there's still plenty of time left.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, that whole thing was just too much to process, and I couldn't really put it all together until after the game was over, and really when they were, like, kneeling kind of towards the end, that I'm like, oh, we're not going to get the ball back. And
totally agree. It was nobody in our – I mean, we went with a group of 15 people. There was not one upset Gator fan at any point after – you know, I'm the first quarter, everybody's kind of down, right? But at any point in the game, the ride home – it was weird because I've never been or watched a Gator loss and nobody be upset, you know? The two-point conversion, I mean, while it was a terrible play and the game was essentially over at that point, that's not what cost us the game, you know? Yeah. So it was just like a feeling of, I can't even believe we're still in this thing. And the fact that we even had a shot to tie the game, we were all kind of like, all right, okay, good work. This is a great comeback. This is, I can't believe we did this.
It's kind of like when you go to Vegas and you're just like down a lot of money and you're down to your last chips and then you just get on this roll. And right. You're like, oh my God, I'm just keep on winning. Keep on doing this. And you're like, I'm playing with house money.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
But the night always ends at some point.
The night always ends.
Right.
And maybe you lost a couple dollars, but remember that one hand that you had, Kyle, and everybody at the table was just going nuts, and you were believing, and you had hope.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not. I
no moral loss.
I hate the phrase the good loss, or you know what? There's no such thing. That's not a thing, and people should stop saying it, because a loss is a loss is a loss. There are worse losses than others, Kentucky, but, you know, a loss is, there's no such thing as a good loss. So I don't want to put it in that, you know, frame of mind. I think just the entire, again, the atmosphere, the environment, everybody being back, being in the swamp, it was just awesome. And that experience, I don't want the loss to ruin that experience.
Yeah. So, you know, Gators had beaten Alabama. You know, it was a loss, but there's a lot of positives from it. You really thought, hey, Emory grew, right? Because Anthony Richardson, like, didn't play at all.
No.
Right? You're down 21-3, and Emory throws a pick.
Terrible.
Right? Terrible. Horrible. Pick. And at that Horrible. Point, it's like, are we going to even make it to the third quarter?
Right.
And to his credit, walking away from that game, you're like, I think he may have found himself. Right?
You know,
a little bit.
I
coming think, out of that game.
Yes. I would, at the end of the first quarter, my feelings were, and we talked about this last podcast, I was kind of on the, listen, the Richardson train.
Yeah.
You know, Emory just, you know, I don't know. We need to start playing Richardson more.
Yeah.
That game, I think, proved that, okay, he is our starter. Now, is he the answer? I'm not saying that, but he is our starter. I think the game more proved how good of a coach Mullen is to adjust and be able to stay in the game with Bama after that. That, to me, that spoke more to Mullen than to Emory.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't say, so Emory, you know, picked himself up. He was able to right the ship. But would you say he played great the last three quarters? I mean, he didn't do anything like...
No, but I thought and I'm just talking the Alabama game. I thought after that game, I said, you know what? I gave him credit, and I thought that he could have been his body language, the way he competed and like made some throws, because you know there was a 99-yard drive that the Gators had.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
From their one and got a touchdown, and I said, you know, his composure. Some of the throws that he did have to make and the way he was running it and commanding the offense, I give him credit because another quarterback, and we have seen Gator quarterbacks that are just one bad thing happens and they're mental case.
Meltdown, yeah.
Meltdown, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
And I just think that would have been easy for him to do that. And I was hopeful at that point, right? what I was thinking is, you know what? Mullen said, Richardson's not going in. Emery, you figure it out, or I'm going to figure it out for you.
Right.
Right. And this is what's going to happen. I thought this could be a turning point. My thoughts and my feelings leaving the Alabama game.
I could not agree more. A turning point's a great way of saying it. I felt like our team grew then. I felt like Emery grew. We kind of figured out what we were, what we had, what we could do, what we couldn't do against a really, really good team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you came away feeling positive after it. So, I don't disagree with that.
Okay. So now, two games later, Kentucky game happens.
Right.
So what are your thoughts after the Kentucky game? And really Vanderbilt, right? Vanderbilt joke, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
So where are you now after, what is it, three games after the Alabama?
Yeah.
On the Gator football program and...
Yeah, so the Tennessee and Vandy games, it's hard to take away, really, in all honesty, it's hard to take away much from any of the opponents we played other than Bama.
Okay.
Kentucky is a legit team, so let me, of our wins in the Bama game, I should say. Every year, you have a game where you have a down game, right? You don't play up to your expectations. You just have a crap game. And those are the games that make or break your season, because somehow the good teams, the successful years, you find out a way to squeak by, right? Mm-hmm. You just figure it out. Last year was the LSU game for the Gators. We had no business losing that game, but because of a bunch of brain farts, we lost it. Kentucky, same kind of thing. And when you look at it, so our offense was just anemic. And there is no excuse for that. And we can talk about that in a little bit. But what truly cost us in the Alabama and the Kentucky game? And to me, it was special teams. Because the two-point conversion, you're not running that two-point conversion in the Alabama game if you don't miss an extra point.
Right.
There is no excuse for missing an extra point ever in college, ever.
Yep.
I don't care if a lineman's kicking it. An extra point is – there is no excuse for that. So that cost us the game against Bama, in my opinion. And I shouldn't – maybe not cost us the game. It cost us the chance to win the game.
Yep, okay.
Kentucky, you know, blocked field goal, return for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? That I didn't know that still happened. When was the last time you saw that happen in a game ever? That doesn't happen.
The Alabama kick six, right, or something like that.
Well, but that wasn't a block. That was a return, which again, that was a complete meltdown. But it's still, it's so frustrating, our kicking game right now, and I don't know. And it's hard to say, did we lose the game because of that? No. I don't think you can point to one play and say we lost. I mean, we should have scored 30 points rather than 10. But it is just, it's so frustrating. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this, because I have a lot that's being built up right now.
So, you know, going into the year, I don't want to say I've changed my mind, but I had zero doubt, let's say 98% confidence in Dan Mullen and offense. I said, I'm not worried about the offense. I'm not worried about Emory Jones. Dan Mullen has proved that he can coach an offense and get something out there that's respectable, and that's not going to be the reason why we lose a game.
Sure.
Right? It's going to be all about the defense, and I haven't really been a big fan of Todd Grantham, mostly because his defense is just all about third and Grantham and blitzing and doing that, and they haven't recruited to get the athletes to blitz and get to the quarterback. So it just seems that every time they blitz, a quarterback knows where the check down is, knows where the blitz is coming, knows where the hot route is, and just destroys the defense.
And to your point right there, my wife, who knows, I don't want to say knows nothing about football, but doesn't, you know, the ins and outs of football, in the Vanderbilt game, calls out the Gator defense for all the screens Vanderbilt's throwing and is uber successful. Now, granted, yeah. Vandy didn't score points, but we don't need to get into all that. But they move the ball very easily. But that is why.
Yeah.
Because they recognize the blitzes, where to check down, where to throw the screens, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But the fact that my wife can recognize that hey, they're throwing it. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to point that out.
No, it's true. And that's more my long-term concern with the Gators, because if you go back in history in the last four, this is three seasons, this is Dane Mullen's fourth season with the Gators and Todd Grantham, the defense has done really well against inexperienced QBs. Against experienced QBs, they struggle because those are the QBs that know this is where my check is, this is where my hot route is, I just need to dump a screen, he's going to give me 10 yards or 8 yards.
Right.
And do that.
Right. Inexperienced quarterbacks get rattled easily.
Get rattled, they don't know, and there's more time to that.
Right.
So I've always been really concerned about the defense, and I still, in a sense, am, but if I look at the numbers, I mean, they've played well.
The defense has played great.
Higher, and better than expectations. Go back to the Bama game.
After the first quarter.
10 points is all they gave.
I thought they played 10 points. Great.
Yes.
After the first. And the first quarter was just. You if you remove the first quarter of the Bama game.
Yeah.
Truly, I would say our defense, quite honestly, has been good. Yeah. Dare I say good.
Yeah. I mean. And again, when I watch every Gator game now, I just say, Grantham, do not blitz. Because they've gotten some good people on the D-line now, some transfers, a Penn State transfer, mm-hmm. two Auburn transfers,
yeah.
And Zach Carter. You know, there's some really good guys on the DL that can get pressure without a blitz.
Right.
You can't. Our linebackers at Florida are not good enough to pick up a wide receiver or any other.
It does seem like the linebackers is where
He brings a corner in and then leaves the linebackers by themselves. Hence, there's a screen and whatever.
Right.
But you notice that when they drop back in coverage and don't leave one man that's open because of a blitz, especially in the Alabama game, you had an inexperienced QB, Bryce Young, who then starts trying to force things because he's like, oh, that's a tight window. Oh, I don't know where to go. I don't really necessarily know if I want to do a check down here, and that's not going to be a lot of yards.
Right.
And that's where they started having success. So I say all that going into the year. I was really concerned about defense. Defense has done well. Go to the Kentucky game. What did they give up? Besides the...
So 16 or whatever. So really only 10 points.
10 points.
Yeah.
Right? The defense was not the reason that Florida lost to Kentucky.
No.
And that's the first time in the Dan Mullen era that I felt that way. That I said, this is an offensive issue.
Yep.
Right? That, oh my gosh, Dan Mullen and the offense let us down.
Yes.
Let the Florida Gators down. And that was all on them. And that's kind of concerning, right? I mean, yes, there's a lot of false starts, 15 offensive penalties.
But that's coaching. We say that all the time. Correct. With teams that are heavily penalized, we always say that's coaching.
Yep, I agree. And so I guess I go back to beginning of the year, full confidence in Mullen, given the benefit of doubt. He wants to run the ball, be a running team. Last year, he was a 100% passing team, best number one offense in the nation for, you know, top five in the nation of passing. This year, he's like top three in rushing. So right. I was like, oh my God, like what a great coach.
Yes.
He can adjust to his players. But the Kentucky game really made me question, does he do that?
So here's my thoughts on Mullen, because I'm glad we're getting to this. We have... So, especially on this podcast, we've talked about ad nauseum how well he is at adjusting.
Yep.
He is the best coach that we've had at Florida, and we've had some phenomenal coaches, but just from straight making adjustments. Because typically, you know, we start off pretty slow, you know, and it makes us mad, whatever, but we adjust and we figure it out. Yeah. We win the game.
And to just put a pin on that real quick, pause on where you're saying, think of McElwain and Nussmeier, right? They were great starting off games. The scripted plays of saying like, hey, we're going to go down, we're going to score, offense looks great. And then there's adjustments and it's like nothing, right? They wouldn't score again.
Right.
Mullen's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
You would say.
Yeah, I agree. And even if you go back to like Urban Meyer and stuff, I mean, you know, they script it, and Mullen was on that staff, but they just dominated everybody. And same thing with Spurrier. They didn't need to make the adjustments. My big thing with Mullen is this, he's now in his fourth year, right, at UF. Of his 4 years, even though he has made it to Atlanta, how many truly signature wins does he have? True signature wins.
Yeah.
Last year at Georgia, right? Or I mean against Georgia. That's and I fully say that's a signature win.
Yeah, it was a beatdown.
It was a beatdown. But he does not my thing with Mullen.
You could say the LSU game in 2018, his first year. The Auburn game in 2019.
That's right. 2019.
Those, but each year there was also a letdown game every single year.
Okay, correct. So I guess I don't want to sit here and say he doesn't have big wins.
Yep.
That's not what I'm saying. He can win a big game, no doubt. But, so now I'm going to reference the article that you had sent to me. Our biggest thing is consistency. There is zero. He can't be consistent within a single game, much less a season, in my opinion. And again, he makes the adjustments. You know, he makes it work. For the most part, most games he does. But we go out and we play this game against Alabama where we think, oh my God, we come away feeling positive. And even though we lose, but then we just go crap all down ourselves against Kentucky, which is, there's no excuse for that. Georgia's favored by like 23 points this weekend against Kentucky, who we just lost to. I mean, we're not 23 points worse than Georgia. And maybe we are. I mean, hell, they could beat us by 40 points. But I guess my point is, to be an elite coach in the SEC, you have got to be more consistent. And it's not like we don't have any playmakers on offense. There's no reason we should be scoring 10 points against Kentucky. That's idiotic. That is so bad. There is no excuse for that. And listen, are bad losses going to occur at some point, you know, throughout the season, every couple of years? Of course. And I'm not saying they won't happen. But you know, you have last year at LSU, you have this year at Kentucky. You can't do this. And again, he does it throughout the game. You know, he has a terrible quarter, a quarter that cost you the game, and you have three great quarters. You need to be more cutthroat. You need to be more go for the jugular.
Yeah, I would think he is, number one, the Florida Gators just aren't consistent. Right, I don't think there's been one game yet that they've put four quarters together. And they obviously haven't recruited to a level of Alabama or Georgia where they can get away every single game with not playing, you know, consistent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because you can look at Dan Mullen's press conference and Nick Saban's press conference, and they're pretty similar in the fact that Nick Saban said, like, hey, we haven't played four consistent quarters, you know. We were up against Miami 35-0, and then we, you know, score maybe 10 points afterwards.
Right.
Right, only being by 20 or 30. At Florida, we were, you know, only scored 10 points in the second half, right? So he was kept on yelling at his team, but they're winning games, like, still by That's 10, right. like, two touchdowns or any of that because they have those playmakers. Florida is not. And some of it, you could argue, like you were saying, is Dan Mullen doesn't really go for the jugular in his play calling.
Correct.
Right? He he goes for what works, and he will keep doing that over and over again. And if you execute it, it's going to be a big game and go. But if you don't execute it, it's going to take a while, and there's zero margin. Right? Yes. Like, Dan Mullen just doesn't give himself margin.
Yes.
To be bad or anything. He does just enough, his play call is just enough that, hey, if you execute, this thing is going to work over and over again, and there's no need.
Yep.
And if it doesn't, we're going to go adjust. But if it's not just big play, it's not explosive.
Right.
Kind of thing. I mean, last year's offense, you could say, kind of maybe was a little more explosive, but you had some really good playmakers there. And if you don't have those year in and year out, it's tough.
Correct.
So, you know, he can win and score a lot of points and look at the box score. I mean, the box score against Kentucky, they outgained him by 200 yards.
Well, right? That kind of stuff, you look at it and you're like, I mean, how did we lose that game? Like, truly, how did we lose that game?
At no point, even when after the kick return, like, at no point are you like, they can't stop the Florida offense.
Right.
Right, they're just moving down the field.
Right.
And it seems like they just move down the field and then stop.
Yeah.
And can't get anything going. That's so frustrating.
It is. And it's funny. It's kind of, we always made fun of the defense. They let them down the field, but then they, you know, can kind of hold them. I feel like that's how our offense is. You know, we're like on the flip side of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of come full circle here, switch gears from Mullen back to Emery. I do think a lot of that, once you get to a condensed field, a lot of that falls back on the quarterback and the quarterback's decision-making. And that's where, you know, when you look at Emery's stats and you look at, you know, his numbers and ratings and blah, 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 it shows that he's doing fairly well, right? But when you watch the game, you know what's happening. Like, he can move it down the field. Right. We can move the ball, no problem. But then we get to the red zone or within the 30 or something, and he just, it's meltdown, right? And people will compare his numbers to Trask's numbers last year. Well, first of all, pump the brakes, because Trask played only SEC games, number one.
Yeah. Also unfair, right, to judge him against Trask, who was a 6-year quarterback.
I agree. I don't like the whole comparison anyway. They're two totally different quarterbacks, right? But, which is fine. And I'm not saying Emery needs to play a different style. I'm not saying I dislike his current style. I love a mobile quarterback. I think that's fantastic. But it doesn't take a football aficionado to watch him throw the ball 4 yards behind a receiver who's wide open and realize, yeah, that's not great. Or, you know, and you watch it over and over.
His decision making seems slow, right? And sometimes what I get frustrated is, and I see it with a lot of what you call mobile quarterbacks, that they almost make a point that they'd rather throw it than run it when it's wide open.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like that's what happens in the red zone a lot with Emery, to me, that I'm like, oh my God, like every time he runs the ball, he gets 3 to 4 yards.
Right.
And I go, it's first and goal, like on the three, just go.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe I get it. That's the time that you want to say, hey, let's fake the run. We got him and do that. But when you throw it, I feel like there's been plenty of times that it's like everybody's covered. Just make a quick decision and run.
Yep.
And or throw it quicker, but it's not happening. So we say all that. We're frustrated. Where do the Gators go from here? Do you think there's still a chance that they can beat Georgia at all?
Well, yeah, of course.
Do you think that this team is good enough to beat Georgia?
So this is going to sound crazy, and I know a lot of Gator fans will disagree with this, But I truly believe this when I say it. Our defense can keep us in that game against Georgia. Georgia is, their defense is unreal. I mean, it's scary good. There is no denying that. But their offense isn't like some juggernaut that can't be stopped. Are they good? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not, this isn't Alabama's offense last year. This isn't, they're not even Florida's offense last year, right?
Right.
The way that our defense has played right now, I mean, if they don't give up a first quarter like they did against Alabama, they could, in theory, keep us in the game. So, listen, we watched Kentucky beat us with some stupid, bizarre special teams play. I mean, you never know. You get some ball to roll your way, you get some crazy play like that, yeah, you can win. Would I bet on them to win? No.
Right.
Should they win? No. But they could.
I still think, yes, I agree. I think Florida's top end is good enough to play with Georgia and compete. If things go well.
Right. But not if Georgia plays their best.
Yes, I do.
If both teams play at their absolute best, you think we could still beat Georgia?
Yes, I do, because I would trust, and we just talked about Mullen and not his killer instinct, but I would trust Dan Mullen coaching decisions over Kirby's. I don't think Kirby Smart has made a lot of good adjustment decisions in that. I mean, you saw the Justin Fields fake, you know, and sat. Like, have they really been in games that it's been super tight back and forth and he needed to make adjustments, right, because something wasn't working? I still think, personally, Kirby is a coach that just relies on his recruits and a good defense.
I would agree. I think Mullen is a better coach than Kirby.
Better coach.
Absolutely.
Kirby probably has better athletes and a better defense. Like, they can coach a better defense of athletes and what to do.
Yeah.
But I still think that Florida has the athletes and the coaching to compete with Georgia at their top end. If Florida plays at their top end, I'm saying Florida's top end, which is the second half of Alabama and a little bit more,
right,
can compete with them. Especially if Dan decides to play more Anthony Richardson. Because
he's
the kind of the big unknown, and I was under the camp after the Alabama game that I was like, you know what? Emory proved himself. He's getting better. Rest Anthony Richardson until the Georgia game.
Right.
And just use him there. Because I was a big nerd the other day, and I watched highlights of the 2006 National Championship of UF versus Ohio State.
Right.
And back in those days, you had Chris Leak and Tim Tebow.
Right.
And, you know, they still haven't really used any of those plays that they were both using, where he would put them both on the field at the same time.
But they're,
you know,
the same player, though. Leak and Tebow were not the same player.
Correct. But the threat of it all, though, is, right, it's similar to the Kyle Trask, Emery, or anything, is this. It only works if one person can throw.
Correct.
Right, and fake it.
Right, exactly.
And so I still think that Dan Mullen is creative enough to put both of them together or put packages in, because he did it with Emery against Georgia a couple times with Trask, like the last couple years.
Right.
You know, where Emery would throw the deep ball and had long completions or any of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I would feel like he could put situation that. Anyways, the long story short is I trust Dan that I know he has to have more in the playbook for these two quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
To play together and complement each other and have an even better offense. And so I'm just hopeful, and this is maybe Homer talking, that in a game like that, he would scheme it up, right? And so I'm not,
you have to.
I guess I'm not as concerned on big games with Dan Mullen because he has, and knock on wood, kind of proven that in the big games when you're like, this is it, he's been competitive. It's the small games each week that he hasn't been. I guess that's the thing. 2018, LSU at home, they didn't really think it was going to be a close game his first year, and they ended up winning, right?
Right.
UF. Michigan, UF Michigan that year in the bowl game, right? Okay, like that was. But bowl games, throw bowl games out. The next year, the Auburn game, you know, they won. Then they go to LSU, and LSU is a phenomenal team that year. And Kyle Trask is like his first road game.
Right. Right. That's when Burrow won.
And Burrow won the Heisman. They were nasty that year.
Yep.
And they played a really good game.
I mean,
LSU, to this day, you can go look at interviews, and they said Florida and Alabama were the two toughest teams that we played.
Yep.
And Florida went to Death Valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's
like,
right.
He coached them up. He had the guys ready and had a great game plan.
Right.
Right. They just ran through a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
Last year, Alabama, after losing to LSU, you're like, oh my gosh, what, you know.
They could have won.
What's going to happen? They could have won. They had a couple defensive plays, too, that, I mean, they had an interception. They hadn't had an interception all year, and then the guy gets, like, a concussion or something. Like.
Right.
All of the Monte Smith gets a tackle and another fumble and they get the ball back.
Right, right.
So I say all that. The Georgia game, he got them ready.
Yep.
Obviously, they won. The Alabama game, he got them ready. Close, but they lost.
Right.
This year, Alabama game, they got them ready. You know,
Did he
got them ready. I mean, whatever happened, however they started, whatever, it was still a close game. He made adjustments and it was a competitive game.
Yeah.
So that's 3 years in a row, multiple games, that for the big games, he's proven that. The games that they've lost all those years are a Kentucky.
Right.
Twice now.
Right.
Right. And A&M, like teams that you know you're better than. You know that you should beat them. You're not really worried about it going into the game, and you lose.
But that's the difference between a team that goes to the playoffs and a team that doesn't.
Correct. And so if you're judging yourself, and I'm not judging against Florida going to the playoffs, if we want to talk about where they go from here and where the program is and are they in that level yet, we can have that conversation. But if I'm just strictly talking of, can Florida compete with Georgia this year in the Florida-Georgia, the cocktail party?
Right.
Yes. And you know why? Because Dan Mullen has proven that for big games like this, he gets everybody ready, he coaches them up, and it's going to be competitive. Will they win? I don't know, but I can guarantee, most of the time, guarantee that it will be competitive.
I don't disagree with any of that. I think they'll be ready to go. I think they'll play hard. Am I betting on them to win? No.
No.
Can they win?
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to say it's like a lost season. There's no way they're going to win. No. And it's Florida, Georgia. I've seen them beat us when they had no business beating us and vice versa. And we've beaten them most of the time, quite honestly.
The first thing they got to do is they show some consistency. Go dominate the teams you're supposed to dominate. Go beat LSU and dominate them.
Yeah, you need to beat the teams you should beat. I mean, there's no reason other than the Georgia game that we shouldn't win out, right?
Yeah.
The rest of the year. Make it dominate every team. Destroy every team.
After the Alabama game, there should have been no reason why, except the Georgia game, Florida wasn't favored and won the game.
Correct. Yep. And here we are.
And here we are. So it is frustrating, but I have a little hope. I don't know. Let's just be consistent.
Let's beat LSU this weekend.
That'd be great.
Let's go.
All right, Kyle. I had to wait for that part.
Well, you talked about the Chili Peppers earlier. I obviously had to play them.
Yeah, of course. There's no way about it. So, we talked about the Gators. We got a lot off our chest there. Feel better about the Gators. And at least I feel better. That's all.
You just feel better that it's been discussed.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't feel like the Gators, are better now. It's just I feel better it's been discussed.
We need to get Mullen or Gators coach on the pod.
Stat.
Yep. All right.
But we're just going to like them even more because, I mean, they can talk. They're just going to fire us up.
It's like freaking Coach White, man. I can hate him. And then he puts his beautiful face on the screen. I'm like, damn it. I don't hate you.
Because they're people. They're real people.
They're people. He's got 5 kids. He's got a family to feed. You know, he's doing his best. It's not great.
He moved around a lot when he was younger because his dad was an AD from there. You know, they built a house everywhere they went.
Yeah, well, I mean, so do military families who, you know, serve our nation and, you know, put their lives on the line. Right?
Right.
It's a good comparison.
That's right. So, I wanted to talk about the rest of college football briefly. Because we talked a lot about the Gators.
Yeah, let's
go. So what's going on?
Yep.
Georgia's number one in the nation, and I really don't like that. Right?
Well,
Alabama just lost to A&M.
Okay.
In a really thrilling game. Does that change anything about you with Alabama and the Florida game or anything? You still think Alabama's good or any of that?
No, I don't think Alabama's a top, you know, they should not be ranked number one. It's what's interesting, though, is in my head, you know, I've watched Bama play. I watched them play the Gators. I watched the A&M loss. So, no, I don't think they're the number one team. I do think Georgia's a better team than them right now.
Yeah.
But when you look at the top five, it's Georgia, Iowa, the wrong Iowa team. Shout out Cyclones. What the heck is going on?
Yes.
By the way, that was I'm definitely off the Cyclone bandwagon.
We got it almost right. We
had the right location. Right state, wrong team.
Wrong
Cyclones.
College.
You guys, come on, man. You're making me look bad. Yeah. What happened? Two losses. Get out of here, Cyclones. I'm off your train. I would jump on the Hawkeyes train, but I'm not. A, because you're Big Ten.
It's so boring to watch.
Oh, they're so bad. Iowa, you're not a good team. You're not the second best team in the nation. Yeah. Don't give me that.
See, I just want to get it off my chest, though. I do not want to live in a world where Georgia wins a national championship. I would rather Alabama win, right?
Yeah.
But not Georgia. I have so much hatred towards that team. So, like, part of me is, I either want them to win, I want the Gators to beat them and ruin their season,
yep,
or I want them to go all the way to national championship and lose. They haven't won anything since 1980. They haven't won a national championship since 1980.
Yeah, I'd rather the Gators beat them, but the Gators beating them isn't going to, I don't think, necessarily knock them out of the playoffs, necessarily. But, so, you know, we're talking, and I agree with you. I do not, in any capacity, want Georgia to be successful. So, we'll leave it at that. We're on the same page there. But, it's just so interesting to me. College football landscape is super bizarre right now. Because you have Georgia, who we thought could definitely be up there. But then Iowa, Cincinnati's 3. Oklahoma, who we thought at the beginning of the year would be 4, or in the top 4, excuse me, but quite honestly, they are not a top 4 team. Maybe I'm wrong, but they are not. They look bad. And I know they beat Texas last weekend. They're struggling. They've bent Spencer Rattler, who was like a Heisman favorite.
Yeah.
Get out of here. And then you have Alabama, Ohio State, which, yeah, we thought was going to be there. Penn State, we thought was going to be there. Michigan's playing good. Oregon, we thought, could have a chance. Michigan State, then Kentucky, Oklahoma State. It's just, it's a very, wouldn't you say it's way different than what you anticipated it to be?
Yeah, it's just, And maybe it's with the COVID year. Everybody gets an extra COVID year. And so a lot of the teams are seniors, you know, super seniors,
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
So there's a lot more teams that are actually better instead of like the top programs have better athletes than the others.
Sure.
And so that's kind of my theory on this year, that it's a little bit, there's not really one great team.
Right.
I think Georgia is still beatable. They're not just like this dominant thing. I mean, they've looked that way, but they haven't really played anybody. That you say, man, they're just so dominant in heads and shoulders. Like the other years, you would say nobody's beating Clemson or Alabama, right? Like,
well,
kind of that. Like, you just knew those teams were the best, and they're in a different level than everybody else.
But you said Georgia hasn't played anybody.
I mean, they played Clemson, I guess.
They played Clemson. They
Arkansas?
Destroyed Arkansas, who was playing good. Now, are they a top 10 team? No, they were ranked 8 when they played Georgia. Arkansas is not a top 10 team, to be clear. But they're not bad.
Yep.
I mean, they destroyed them, and they destroyed Auburn, who, again, you know, I'm not saying Auburn's going to make the playoffs this year, but they're not a bad team.
They're beating down the teams that they should beat, and they're beating the team they should beat, and they're beating them down.
Correct. Yeah, and they're playing Kentucky this weekend. Kentucky's ranked, you know, 11, and Georgia's favored by a million.
Yeah.
And then they play the Gators, who's ranked. I mean, Georgia's, listen, they're playing a tough schedule.
Yeah.
I would argue they probably have one of the toughest schedules in the country.
All right. So enough about Georgia. Are you taking Georgia the field as of right now in this day to win the national championship? Georgia or the field?
The field.
You take the field?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not putting my faith in Kirby.
Yeah. That's good. So I'm glad you mentioned it earlier. The preseason Spencer Rattler, you know, getting benched and everything. The other one was DJ, from Clemson, the quarterback from Clemson.
Right.
Both of those guys are preseason Heisman odds, and now they've got to be, like, at the bottom of everything.
Clemson's not even ranked. Spencer Rattler's been benched.
How do you feel about that?
I love it. See, and this is what I will say, this season is why I like college football. I love this type of season where you come in, you're thinking one thing, and everything's flipped on its head.
You zig, right? And then they zag.
Yeah. It gets me fired up. It's great. Are there teams at the top that I like? Not really. None of the teams in the top, God, I look at top 8, I even really like, to be honest.
I feel like Michigan may make some noise.
Oh, God, I hate Michigan. I used to be a Harbaugh fan years and years ago. I don't like it. I don't know. I get out of here, Michigan. The Big Ten is weird to me because they've got Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State on the top 10.
So, Iowa.
Now, they haven't played each other.
Iowa should stay in the number 2 spot if they just handle their business. Can I tell you Iowa's remaining schedule?
Let it rip.
Purdue.
Yeah.
Wisconsin. Northwestern. Minnesota, Illinois, and Nebraska.
Okay.
That's should be undefeated.
So there isn't a team with a winning record on their schedule. Purdue and Minnesota are both 3-2.
Yeah.
So Purdue by the end of the year won't have a winning schedule, to be clear. Minnesota will, but everybody else has a losing schedule.
Right.
So they get one signature win against Penn State.
Right. And so they should clear the way to go to the Big Ten Championship.
Great.
And then, I didn't know this. I didn't really care about Big Ten football, but now that I looked a little bit more. So Iowa is on that side, and they've got Wisconsin. And that's really usually it. Wisconsin or Nebraska or Iowa are the good teams on that side. And it's usually been Wisconsin.
Right.
The other side is a lot more competitive.
Yes.
You've got Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State.
Correct.
From that side.
Right.
So I was leaning towards Penn State to be a really good team.
But Iowa beat them this past weekend.
They lost their starting quarterback. I think if Penn State didn't lose their starting quarterback, I think they would have won that game. And we would have been talking about them a little bit differently.
I don't disagree. And they played at Iowa.
Yeah.
Which always helps.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm curious how Michigan, Ohio State goes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really trust Michigan State, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if they're.
It's hard to fathom at this point any other Big Ten team making the playoffs other than Iowa, right? I mean, don't you feel like everybody's either gonna beat
Michigan
up themselves?
If Michigan goes undefeated, you sure, gotta put them up there.
No, absolutely. But do you think that's gonna happen? Is my point.
I don't know. They got a pretty good team. They looked bad. I mean,
don't ruin this world I live in and tell me that there's two.
I might turn into a Harbaugh fan this year.
No, less khakis. Get out of here.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's wide open. You're taking the field, not Georgia. I mean, this is gonna be. I feel like it's gotta be. Two from the SEC.
Okay, so I'm glad you bring this up, but you say that now. I feel like the Bama loss confirms that it's the only scenario now where two SEC teams get in is if Alabama runs the board and beats Georgia in the SEC championship, and then Alabama and Georgia both get in, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a far-fetched scenario, but that is the only scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And we don't want that to happen because we want the Gators to beat Georgia.
But Georgia would still go to the SEC championship game.
Correct. But if Alabama beats... If Georgia has two losses, they're not going to make it to the playoffs this year. A two-loss team won't make it this year.
Let's say it happens, right?
Okay.
Florida beats Georgia.
Right.
Georgia still goes to the SEC championship game, plays Alabama.
Right.
And they beat Alabama.
Georgia's in, Bama's out. You can't get in with two losses.
Yeah.
I don't. And I'm okay with that. I'm not some guy who's like, oh, we got to get two.
What about
SEC
Ohio State winning out?
Yeah, well, of course, if Ohio State wins out, that means they beat Michigan. That means they'd have to beat Iowa
beat
in
Michigan
the Big Ten
State and
championship.
Penn State.
Yeah, of course. If Ohio State wins out, no doubt. I don't think Ohio State's that good this year. I wouldn't be shocked if they end up losing three games.
They haven't played anybody. I mean, they did play Minnesota and Oregon early, but these last couple games have been. Tulsa, Akron, Rutgers, and Maryland.
Right. They lost to Oregon, the only good team that they played. I don't know.
They're
not
playing
impressed.
Indiana this week, and then next week they got Penn State, which will be interesting.
Yeah, they still... Right. Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, that's a pretty good schedule right there. So, I don't know. If you're asking me today to predict... what I think is going to happen, I'm going to go Georgia, one team from the Big Ten. I don't know. I don't have faith in Iowa. I think...
Cincinnati?
So I think this is the year Cincinnati gets in, a non-Power 5, which actually ticks me off. It angers me that they're going to get in. The only chance they have of losing... when you look at their schedule, is SMU, second to last game of the season. Everybody else is garbage.
Yeah.
If you put any other Power 5 school that's in the top half of their league in Cincinnati's schedule, it's undefeated, no questions asked.
Yeah.
It is just garbage. I think it's so dumb to reward teams that don't play a good schedule. I do not think that's fair. I think that's crap. Because the whole... Here's what's frustrating to me about it. Everybody craps all over the SEC or Big Ten or whomever, Power 5 school, when they go out and schedule a bunch of cupcakes for non-conference games. And yet, these are the same people who are saying Cincinnati needs to be in there. They don't get enough respect, or Charleston Southern or whatever the hell their school is. You know, they go undefeated, whatever. Well, wait a second. You can't have it both ways. You can't say it's not fair to play these cupcake games, but yet you still want the teams that play a cupcake schedule in the playoffs. No. Get out of here.
What about an ACC team? Wake Forest or NC State?
How bad is the ACC this year? What happened?
You don't trust Wake Forest or
Do you?
NC State?
Oh, my God. No. Get out of here. ACC's garbage.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty... I mean, if you look right now, it would be a pretty boring playoff, right?
Well, it's still early. I don't know if I'd
Georgia,
say boring.
Georgia, Cincinnati, a Big Ten team, and if Oklahoma wins out, they're in.
Well, of course. You could say that about the top four teams. Georgia, Iowa, Cincinnati, Oklahoma. If they went out, they're in. They're all undefeated. They would all win their conference.
Well, even... I don't know. Could you say even up to number 7, number 8, number 9?
No, because you have five...
The top 10 teams.
No, you have five Big Ten teams in the top 10.
I know, but I'm saying if... Each of those would knock the other out. So one of them would go in. But I'm saying if Iowa wins out, they're going to be in.
Correct.
If Ohio State wins out, which they would have had to beat Iowa, they're in.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, they're in.
Right?
No doubt.
Penn State, same way. I mean, Penn State would have their only loss be to Iowa.
Well, correct. So Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, they're all in the same division in the – East version of the
because if Penn State wins out, they would have beat Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State, and then beat Iowa and the Big Ten.
That's right.
So and yeah, same with Michigan, they would be undefeated. So I guess it's just to say that the top 10, if they all win out from this point on and don't lose a game, they're going to be in.
Yes, you could say that anybody in the top 10, if they win out, they will be in the playoffs, no doubt. But so you have an SEC team in, you have a Big Ten team in, which is almost a guarantee, right? Yeah. And then you have two more spots. So it'll just be interesting to see who fills out those two spots. Does Cincinnati run the table and the committee allow them to go in? If Oklahoma runs the table, yeah, they'll definitely be in. But is there an opportunity for two SEC teams, two Big Ten teams, Notre Dame at the end of the day? I mean, it's wild.
Yep.
And it'll work itself out.
Yep. So we'll see. All right, Kyle, we're gonna transition to a little lightning round and wrap it up. From here, okay? So I've got a couple questions here for you. I'm going to start off with the first one. It's golf related. I don't know if you know this, Kyle, but the basketball player J.R. Smith, former Cleveland Cavaliers, won a NBA championship with LeBron.
Yep.
Likes to take his shirt off all the time.
Yeah.
He's enrolled back into college at North Carolina A&T.
Yep, A&T. Yep.
A&T, right? And he's actually a big golfer.
Yep.
And he has eligibility, and he's playing on their golf team.
Yep.
And so recently he played on the A&T golf team. It was the Elon Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
And he played in it.
Yeah.
He finished like third from last. I'll tell you his scores.
Okay.
82, 78, 76.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Super impressive.
Super impressive. The most impressive thing, he got stung by a hornet.
What?
In his last round. And still went out and shot a 76.
Athlete.
Huge stung athlete. By a hornet. Not a Charlotte hornet, okay? Not right. The Charlotte Hornets that he
right.
played.
Right.
an actual Hornet.
Right.
And still finish the round. Would you have finished the round if you got stung by a Hornet?
Yeah. Yes, I have unfortunately been stung multiple times. Some people, it's funny. Hornet stings are like COVID. Some people handle it better than others.
Ooh.
No, I didn't. That's not a political statement. I literally mean it in the fact that it affects people totally different. Sorry, that was not a timely joke. Yeah.
But anyways, you're impressed with J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
We're impressed.
No, I'm right? Super impressed.
Transitioning?
Super impressed. Because, like anything, when you're performing on an actual stage, like, it's one thing to do it for fun and for a hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, playing with your buddies, drinking, have a good time. But on a competitive stage, every shot matters. You're putting out everything. It's a true competition. Dude. Shooting two rounds in the 70s, I'm not going to lie. And these aren't like some Muni courses from white tees that they're playing. I'm impressed.
I mean, very impressed. Let's recap. He was playing basketball last year.
Yes.
Right?
It's like, not like he was playing golf every day, practicing,
playing
getting
tournaments,
lessons,
any of this stuff.
With a coach. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's going to want to be competitive.
Yeah.
Give him some time. I think he could do pretty well against these kids.
It truly is impressive. Well done, J.R. Smith. I'm proud of you. I did not know you got stung by a bee. Way to fight through it.
Hornet.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Somebody tell me the difference between a hornet and a bee. I don't know. They both have stingers. Don't they both die after they sting you?
I think one of them has a more pronounced stinger than
Jokes
the
on
other.
You, Hornet. I don't know. It doesn't feel good.
Also, how great would it be? How awesome is that he plays in the NBA, retires, and then is living the college life as like an adult?
Yeah, and I think that speaks
and
a
living
lot.
It up too.
Yeah.
Though. Like he's
oh, of
doing
course,
the whole
doing
thing.
Right. He's doing the student athlete thing. He's getting his degree. But that speaks to the type of person that he is too. How many people actually do that? Retire from a career and it doesn't matter what it is, the career is, but and then go back to school to get a degree. Like, especially when you have millions of dollars, you don't have to do that. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, things I never thought I would say or hear is J.R. Smith, look at the type of person he is.
I love it, man. it gets me so fired up. J.R., keep playing well, man. Keep it up. I'm going to keep following you. Let's go.
I like it.
So let's stay on the golf train, and we have not recapped the Ryder Cup, Juan, which is
a
shame because it was
amazing.
It was amazing.
3 days of just
pure ecstasy, right?
Bliss.
Oh my God. How awesome is the Ryder Cup?
It was.
Is it? I mean, truly, and I'm not, I don't want to sound too, I don't want to be over the top here, but is Ryder Cup not like
one of the best?
It's got to be a top three sporting event.
Yeah.
Truly, and I might be doing it a disservice.
And you think about it live, right? The people we've been fortunate enough to go to one, but I mean, it's 40,000 people to watch. Besides Sunday, what 8 players?
4 groups at a time.
Right. Like that's crazy. Right, like as a athlete. I don't think you can't ask for anything more, right?
Yeah.
Of just being in an arena, everybody watching you, and everybody, especially when it's in the USA, cheering you on.
Yeah.
Even if it's not in the USA, right? And they're all cheering against you.
Correct.
As a competitor, you're going to be fired up because you just want to shut everybody up and I mean, you just want to shut them up.
Yeah, but... And I don't even think it's just that. It's first of all, team golf is just awesome. Whether you've played it, whether you watch it, it is just, it's a dynamic that unless you've experienced it, it's hard to explain because it doesn't, that's not how golf was created.
Right.
And that's, team golf is just a totally, it's just, it's awesome when you play
fires
for,
you up.
Yeah, when you play for more than just yourself. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just so awesome. But, and then when it's your country, I don't know. I feel it deep in my soul.
I feel like I should have had the whoop bands on me for my heart rate.
Yeah.
And it would have been higher than the players before their tee time.
Yeah.
Like before their first drive.
Right.
They were all like in the 120s. I felt like I was in the 120s.
Jacked
just
up.
Watching them.
Let's go.
Every 8 a.m. when they were teeing off.
Right.
I was just as fired up.
Yeah. Yeah. I apologized to my employer Friday. It was on all day long. It was. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry, but it was awesome, and they knew it, and it was okay.
I'll tell you this. It was great. DJ played awesome. DJ yeah. Morikawa loved it.
Yep.
JT didn't necessarily play well, but he got it together a little bit.
So your MVP and your what's the least MVP?
Yeah.
The biggest disappointment. MVP and biggest disappointment.
MVP's got to be DJ.
Okay.
Played well. Although, if I want to go, I think a lot of people say DJ, so I would also go with Morikawa.
Okay.
I think he played well, but let's go with DJ. Least Berger. Did not necessarily play well. They won a match in the morning, but I don't know if
everybody for the US
but I don't know if it was really because of him.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. All right, you took DJ. Yeah, definitely he gets the award. I'm gonna go John Rahm. I'm gonna go your upside for my MVP.
okay.
John Rahm single-handedly kept Europe just even on the scoreboard. And Weisberger?
Yeah.
What? Like, his presence just in and of itself was so dumb. The fact that he was on the team was so dumb. He was terrible. He was awful. He shouldn't have never been there.
One of the best moments, though, Bryson, Sunday, singles, hole one.
Number one. No doubt.
Number one.
Best moment of the weekend, for sure. Because that is literally, and I will spare our audience for language, but that was dropping the hammer. And that is something Mullen doesn't do.
Yeah.
When you're up, it's not 100% one, but it's as close as to 100% as you can get. And just letting everybody in the world know, no.
I mean,
it's over.
Great drive. And then he walks down the fairway and sticks his club in the air.
Yeah.
Like a gladiator.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, so par four, number one, which the number one tee box at the Ryder Cup is like teeing off in the swamp at Gators football stadium.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the opening kickoff with everybody cheering, going crazy. He drives the green on a par four and then has the cojones to sink the putt for eagle.
Yeah. And then after he drives a green, which is everybody's fired up.
Right.
Just incredible. As he's walking to do that, he sticks his club in the air and is waving it to everybody.
Yeah.
And the fans just get even more jacked up.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's egging them on, which is exactly what you want.
Of
against
course.
Sergio. He's playing against Sergio.
Yeah.
He's won the most points in Ryder Cup history.
History. That's
history,
right?
Yeah. And say what you want. Sergio does play well in the Ryder Cup.
Of course. Well, obviously.
Right? So
yeah.
He's just waving around, and then you're like, okay, whatever. We'll see. Let's see if he makes this. He makes the putt. Sergio made birdie.
Yeah. He lost
he
the hole on a par four with a
birdie.
I know.
Dude, like, that best moment.
Just sets that at that point, you knew it's over. And not necessarily the match, but the entire...
Just the soul,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You took
yeah.
Serge, like, the winningest person in Ryder Cup history. You took his soul.
Yes.
You took their whole team.
Yeah.
And you said, I don't care if you win the next hole.
Yeah.
You and I both know you're done.
Yep. And it couldn't have happened to a better player than Sergio.
I will say, side comment, I thought Bryson did pretty good at the Ryder Cup. He was likable.
Okay, well,
he's good. He was good for those things, you know, with his drive, with his driving, going for greens.
But that's
doing a 400 yard drive on a par five.
Yeah, but that's okay. That is where Bryson should thrive, is in four ball. When you have a teammate, when you know, like, who cares if I spray it 150,000 yards?
Or singles where it's a match play.
Or, right. Like, that's his, the only thing he can't do is alternate shot. That's not, like, his thing, because then you have a partner that's got to play his just ridiculous tee shots. So, yeah, I mean, of course.
I'm just saying, he was fun to watch.
Yes, absolutely. Bryson's always fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. Do I like him more because of this weekend or the Ryder Cup weekend? Yeah. No. Let's not go overboard.
Okay. All right. So my question here on the, and it's golf related. Golf drivers now have a new rule. They're limited to a 46 inch, head, I guess, on the driver.
Yep.
Good, bad, shaft. Right. What do you think?
I don't care. You have to limit distance at some point, right? I mean, you can't have golfers totally overpower courses. I mean, courses only, you can only extend them so far. So at some point you have to limit something. The good thing about, like, rather than altering the balls, you know, in the flight of the balls, which affects every single shot on the entire course, you solely affect the drive. It's one shot on the entire course, and you keep the course how it's supposed to be played. I don't care. That's fine. Whatever.
I don't know enough about the drivers to know what it matters and what it'll do. So
obviously the longer driver you have, the more torque you can get, the further you can hit it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's going to impact the game to where it'll be noticeable. I don't think people will care. It'll just keep people from, like, you know, coming up, trying to be Bryson, hitting 450 yard drives from entering the tour. Basically, you better be able to have an iron game also to be able to play. I'm cool with that.
Fair enough.
I don't know. You have any? You just don't care.
I really don't know enough about it.
Okay. Well, I've got to ask, since we're watching, baseball playoffs have started. Right now, we have the Astros, Red Sox that have advanced to the ALCS.
Yeah, no Rays.
No, man. I actually am a little bummed that the Rays did not take down the White Sox. Red Sox. White Sox lost to the Astros. But whatever. That's fine. I'm cool with it. You have LA and San Francisco tonight, game five. You're going to play the Braves. I don't know if you watched the last game the Braves played.
Pretty exciting. Freddie Freeman.
Oh, Freddie. Dude.
I love Freddie Freeman.
He is the best. Is he not?
He is. He likes to give hugs to everybody.
He's such a happy guy.
He is.
I like it. I will say baseball playoffs are a lot of fun to watch. Regular season, I could do without.
Yeah. Playoff baseball is
it's intense.
Good. It's exciting.
It's intense. I like it. Big fan. I'm not a fan of LA teams in general. I kind of want the Dodgers to win, though.
This other defending champs.
I know.
So, who are you taking? Are you taking the Dodgers to win the MLB playoffs, or?
No, I'm going to take the Braves.
The Braves. You want them to win. You don't think they will actually win, though.
Yeah, both.
Okay, so you're going with the NL team, though. You don't think the Astros or the Red Sox will win the World Series.
I always,
AL or NL?
I always give the edge to the NL team. Always.
And because their pitcher's bat.
That's right. And because if, in theory, 50% of the games are played in an NL stadium, you have to give the pitcher, you know, the at-bats. There's a slight edge, right? It's ever so slight. So, yeah.
I agree. With all the teams remaining left, I would love to see the Braves win. However, I do think an NL team will win. The Giants and Dodgers have been the two best teams in baseball the entire year. So it really just depends on which one of those go. If the Dodgers win against the Giants and play the Braves, the Dodgers are going to go to the World Series and win. If the Giants beat the Dodgers, then the Braves are going to go to the World Series and win.
It's as simple as that. Oh, so you're going NL no matter what?
NL no matter what.
I am too. I don't know. There's just something about the National League that I like.
Yeah. All right, so last question. This another sport started yesterday, I believe. Hockey.
Yes, it did.
Hockey.
Yep.
All right, and our Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yep.
Right, are two-time defending champs.
Yep.
Can you name a player from them?
Stamkos.
Stamkos. What's his first name?
Steven.
Steven. SNS.
Yeah.
Steven Stamkos. All right. So I really don't know much about hockey except that the Lightning have won the last 2 years. Are you going to take the Lightning or the field for the Stanley Cup this year?
Three-peat, baby.
Three-peat?
Yeah,
why not? Go with the Lightning.
Listen, Tampa Bay.
Tampa or the field?
The Super Bowl, and Tampa won the Stanley Cup. Actually, sorry, to backtrack, so I'm going to take the Lightning to win the Stanley Cup, to answer your question. But, to backtrack, the teams that I picked for the Super Bowl, the Rams and Bills, feeling really good about those.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Because I said Tampa Bay. I really don't mean Tampa Bay.
So, when we look back in the sports year in review,
mm-hmm.
right, because you've picked all these teams and they're obviously going to be right.
Right, obviously.
It's going to be the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
In January.
Yep.
February. February, yeah. So, really, baseball would be first. The Braves will be winning the World Series.
Braves win the World Series.
In October.
That's right.
And the Tampa Bay Lightning will three-peat in hockey.
That's right. It's going to be great. You know what? How about this? How about let's make a pact right now. If Tampa Bay goes to the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, excuse me, we have to go to a game.
That's going to be tough to get tickets.
Huh? Well, let's just go to a playoff game.
I'm down.
Live hockey, man. Even hard to beat.
I think the Eastern Conference Finals, because they're in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go to one of those. I'm down.
Live hockey.
I've never been to a live hockey game, so I would love to go to a playoff hockey game.
Can we sit by
the glass, though? I need to go be that glass. I mean, those are tough tickets.
Yeah, I'm not that rich, but... Dude, live hockey is awesome. It doesn't matter what seats you have. I'm telling you, you go once, you
get addicted.
You'll love it. It's awesome.
Did you wear the jersey?
No, I'm not a jersey guy. I don't own a jersey. I will never wear
one. Hockey jersey?
Nope. I am not a jersey guy. No offense to anybody who wears them. That's fine.
Face paint?
No face paint? No. I will... no. I'll drink a beer and enjoy myself.
Okay. I'm down to go to the hockey game.
All right.
That'd be good.
We're in.
We'll do it for our listeners.
Yep. Let's do it. We'll record on the way down.
And after.
I don't know. I don't know if you want me recording afterward. That may be bad for the listeners. A lot of mumbling. A lot of words that probably should not be said on air.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. That's all the time we got for this week. So, Tampa Bay Lightning. That's Braves. That's LA Rams, and that's Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, that's pretty diverse. You got Florida, Atlanta, and LA.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Winners.
Florida, Georgia, I guess. But we don't really talk about Georgia. It's Atlanta.
Gross. Get out of here.
All right. That's all the time we got.
Till next time.
Till next time.